Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
You know, this morning my thoughts were that I needed to be preached to, and I kind of had a feeling that I'd be called on, but in all saying, most of the time when I stand before you, I'm the number one person that's being preached to. So, in continuing on in this manner that Brother Steve started out with, I guess if I was ever considered anything, my mother-in-law calls me a duty preacher. And I love her very much for trying to nail me, I guess. But we do need to hear more about the Lord's salvation. We need to be comforted. Each one of us do. I mean, we come here to be comforted. Mm-hmm. We come here to commune with one another, and I truly believe the church was put here for the sole purpose of the community coming together, yes, to congregate, and that we learn from one another. We learn from the Bible, the Word of God, and the pastors teach. And so in my thinking, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind, I mean, when you touched on our behavior, I think about bridling my tongue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you can bridle your tongue, I was telling Brother Robert about December of 15, that month I was had a sore on a vocal cord, ulcer had come up. And she said the only way you can heal that is not to use your voice.
Yeah.
You know, so for that month I tried my best not to speak. And in that, to most of you, I guess you would think that that would be a miracle that I didn't say anything for a month. it was hard, but it was constantly on my mind. I wanted that to get better. So bridling my tongue had to be done for sure then if I wanted it to get better. I think my doctor, she was highly surprised when I went back 4 weeks later. It was the first day of December, and the 28th day was my next appointment. And she said, "Wow, you must have really heeded to my suggestion." I said, "Well, I really tried." I said, "It's hard when you're a preacher," and I was preaching over there at Sardis a good bit, and mostly every Sunday. It was tough. But to get to this point, it gave me a time to think about the Lord. And in the 11th chapter of Matthew, and he talks about learning of him, you know, take his yoke upon you,
right,
and learning of him.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, the Lord, you know, he didn't, when he was hanging on the cross and people said all the things, nasty things and so forth, and tried to ridicule him and so forth, He didn't talk back to them and make them look bad. Well, I mean, even though he didn't try to reprimand them and preach to them in any way. I mean, I can't imagine every breath you take, you have to push your legs and you pull up with all the muscles you have just to take a breath while you're in that position. I never realized, even as a child, how hard or how much that he would have had to have gone through to just take a breath upon being nailed to something. It's hard to imagine. I don't want to know what he went through, but he went through so much. But through his stripes, we are healed. So he was beaten. He loves us. He has loved us so much that He has even told us that He's put our sins as far as from the east as from the west, never to be known. I mean, God the Father in heaven looks at us and looks at us as pure and white.
Right.
Because of His blood. Because of His Son's blood, the perfect sacrifice.
Yeah.
So, here I am, 60 years old, and I still want to bridle my tongue. When I was 18 years old, I took some courses through GM in Atlanta. I met one of the most wonderful men, an instructor for General Motors in Atlanta. I'd never met anyone like him. I'll never forget him. This isn't even related to church, but he had an ability of teaching. Here we are, about 20 people. I'm probably one of the youngest. I'm probably the youngest fellow there. There's people from all over the country at his educational class. And it's about cars and electrical problems and so forth. And I was there a whole week, and I learned Mr. Hardman was probably one of the most knowledgeable people within General Motors. People from all over the world called him to solve problems. But I noticed the first day of my class with him, and he would ask, has anyone got a question? And you ask the question, well, he would sit there. And I want to tell you, I'm the type of person, I want to answer immediately. He might sit there 2 or 3 minutes thinking. And I never in my life had met anyone like that. It's not that he couldn't speak immediately, but he was going through that problem with his mind, and he came out with the correct answer. I never met anyone like him. That's how he taught, basically. I mean, not in every... I ate lunch with him quite a few times there, and General Motors had this class school there in the cafeteria, and eat lunch with him, and, you know, he would talk with you and so forth. But if there was ever a problem, anything brought to his attention, normally he took... You learned that he waited before he spoke. And I thought, is he that brilliant? Is there that much in his brain? Is his computer slow? You know, I didn't think about computer then, but is his brain slow or something? But no, he said he wanted to go from every area. I asked him, I'm that type of person. Why? He said, well, I want to go from every direction that's possible to give the correct answer. So he weeds it out. Now, I learned that's a good way to take tests. I learned since after finished school, that was a good way to apply myself in taking tests. Weed out the wrong answer. I mean, you know, especially if it's a multiple choice test, there's going to be, say, 4 answers to the question there. You try to weed the wrong ones out first, and then, you know, you might come up with the right one, you know, afterward, unless you just know it immediately. But I realized that he was that type, that was a certain type of character and piece of ability that he had. Like I said, I'll never forget him. Now, he had a hobby also, and he worked on clocks that people sent to him from all over the world. And little timepieces in his hobby shop in his basement. I didn't get to go there and see that, but he talked about it. He had pictures of his shop and all that. But a man wanted him to clean these special identical watches, railroad watches, that were worth $6,000. And this is 1976. And he said, I cleaned them, I worked on them, I took them I had to ship them back to Chattanooga where they came from, and then he left there, forgot to put insurance on them. And he was going to go back, but he said, oh, they're going to make it. They didn't make it. So he had to pay the $6,000 for the watches. So even people like him can make mistakes, you see. Even people like us, we make mistakes. But it doesn't mean that we aren't, you know, that we're not going to make it right. We should make it right if when we make mistakes. If we can't make it right, then we need to, you know, try to do the best we can. So my point in standing before you, I guess, is a preacher. I want to tell you, these young preachers that preached yesterday, they helped me examine myself. They helped me to see that, you know, that I'm not pushing myself as much as I should be. I'm not. So, you know, we have these flaws about ourselves. And that's one thing about life, is that this wonderful Savior, he helps us to identify our flaws, but, you know, he also is there for us to try to make these flaws better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as a pastor, which I'm not now, haven't been for a while, but as a preacher, I want to be better especially. But as a pastor, I also, if I become one again, I want to also be better. Mm-hmm. So James comes to us and he says, brethren, if any of you lack wisdom, the first chapter of James, the fifth verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Now, you want to, when you say all, now I want to put it to this way. I especially believe it's to all his children.
Right. Yeah.
I do believe that. Now, I'm not preaching to the non-elect. I'm preaching to the elect of God. So, and the word liberally means he's not holding back.
Right.
It's like going to the buffet and pay the price and you just can eat all you want. I don't go to them. I try not to anyway. But anyhow, the liberal part, liberally, that the Lord not holding back tells me that, look, my grace is sufficient. My love is unending. I love you with a heart, with all the love I have. So see, he tells me that he loves me. He gives me understanding that I, one that he loves, when I ask of him, he says, and then he goes, I'm sorry, let me finish this up. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And I want to add what else he says. James says, and upbraideth not. Upbraiding means to scold you. So he doesn't scold you when you come to him and ask. So upbraid in that. To ridicule you, why would you come ask me is what he's saying he doesn't do. Why bother me? He doesn't do. So that's something that if he doesn't upbraid you, well, why would you not ask? You know, there's a lot of shy people in this world, and there has been times that I was shy in certain areas, but most of the time I'm not. And it doesn't hurt to be shy. And it seemed like when I was growing up, I don't know why, but I'd take up for the underdog. And it didn't matter if they were older or younger. But, you know, I just seemed to make friends easy, but I always wanted them to be good friends. I didn't like bullies. I never. But in this situation right here, we as children of God need to learn that our Father in heaven is willing and ready. Are we asking, and are we desirous to be taught?
Yeah.
Are we desirous to learn?
Yes.
So in this, he says, if he's let it out, he said, look, there's an open gate there. Walk through it and ask God.
Yeah.
It's nothing to hinder you except yourself.
Right.
And that's basically it. So the preacher, us three preachers, should be willing to say, look, there's nothing to hinder you, us three, in asking the Lord of anything.
Right.
Now, to get to this, he wasn't talking to just preachers here. He's talking to everyone. All of his elect. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So the statement James is saying, which this is the word of God with all the heart that I believe, it shall be given to us.
Right.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So I've done that. I've wavered.
Yes.
But we shouldn't in any way. We shouldn't when it comes to even when if someone asks of us, we should be willing to step up and to do.
Right.
Now, if anything, I'll ask myself, am I able? Well, if I'm able, I should be able because the Lord should supply me what I need. So the thing here is we should not waver. We should not think that that's the way to go to God in heaven. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord that wavereth. I mean, that's what he's saying. So in saying that, Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. Or Lord, I'll do this if you'll do this. That's just not the way. Because we as children of God and pastors or brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters here in the church, if it be whatever question asked, we should be able to say, well, I can't answer that, or I have an answer for that, or whatever. Or if whatever's asked of you to do, we should be able to say what we can do.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we'll perform. But it's not that I'm going to do it because I'm expecting a gift, or am I expecting something from you or that person? No. Jesus Christ went to the cross for us because he loved us. And so what would are we? We should love one another, willing to communicate or to react in love. So even me, myself, I need to bridle my tongue. And in saying that's not just saying be quiet. That's saying, like I was telling about Mr. Hardman, he had a characteristic about him that I had never seen, especially among courtesans. Maybe I had an uncle that was like that. Similar. He was good to me, that particular uncle. He was not quick to ridicule you. He was not quick to put you down. And that's something there as children of God, that we as children of God are to love one another. And even with little small children, like yesterday, one of Brother Philip Duke's sons called out a number, and I just didn't understand it. Sometimes the first number, if it's three numbers, 150, I might not hear the 100 for some reason. It's just that's the way it is with me. I wasn't trying to make light of that. I just, if I don't hear it, I want to hear it. It seemed like when we got outside after church, he wanted to pick at me. And that's, see, I went over there to shake his hand. Whoever called out Child of Grace, that's the one that I wanted to hear yesterday. When I got here, I turned to that, and I'd love to hear that. One of them called it out, and it just, you know, pulled at my heart. So even children, they make a difference in worship service. They make a difference in our lives. They make a difference in the church. Children are the future. So I want to encourage children to do just as what they were doing. I want to encourage Brother Philip to continue teaching them, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is if I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. So truthfully, we have to set our feelings aside. Now, I'm not trying to say that the church in any way would put our ordinances and our things aside. No, we hold church in the utmost best way. I think preaching, praying, or put it in this order, singing, praying, and preaching, I fell in love with that 40 years ago. But in myself, understanding that Christ has done all for me, it's not that what am I doing because of what Christ has done for me, but it's that what am I doing because I am who I am. I'm not supposed to be the one that brings out myself. I'm supposed to bring out Christ. Because Jesus Christ in Matthew 11 teaches us to put the yoke upon us to learn of Him. So if we learn of Christ, then we're going to be even careful in all things that we do. Because I truly believe He was very careful in all that He did. I believe that He came here upon this ground of sin and sorrow. He accomplished what His duty was. If you want to call it a mission impossible, He finished the mission to a jot and a tittle. He fulfilled all what the prophets had said that He was going to do. And even after He did certain things, He said, I did this because that's what the prophet said that I would do. So if He fulfilled all the prophets' sayings, He came here to show us where He tore down the petition to the mercy seat, where it was torn down because He paid the price. When He finished, when He said it was finished, it was done, covering came down, ripped. So here we are today, able to say that we're able to go to the mercy seat. We're able to go to Jesus, where He's one that will not hinder us in any way. He is here to help us along. He's here to coach us. He's here if we'll listen. He's here for us to apply ourselves. As James said, I feel like all the apostles, my faith will be seen by my works. But it's not that the works are getting me anywhere eternally. It's just getting me here along in life's journey. For we need to be about godly works, sure. Good works. So carefully watching what we say is important. Carefully seeing that we apply ourselves in the loving way as Jesus Christ came here. He loved us with an everlasting love, and He went to the cross
because he loved us.
Mm-hmm. For us not to suffer hell and damnation, he has put away. For us not to suffer that even he said that there was a gulf between heaven and hell, and no one can pass through that. So even the poor man Lazarus that begged at the rich man's table or would eat the crumbs at the rich man's table couldn't even bring him a dip of water, the rich man, after he died. So there's something there. Jesus Christ made it known to us that there's a gulf, a fix. It's fixed. So Jesus has paid the price for you and me. Now that millstone problem, I believe, is if we do hurt one of God's own, he says it would be better if a millstone were put about your neck and cast in the sea. You know, that's probably a quick death. That would be better than 50 years in prison with just bread and water or whatever. It would be very quick, I'm sure. A quick death. So he's saying, woe unto us, be careful not to hurt one of his little ones. Because there's going to be some suffering on us if we do. And it's just here in time. Doesn't mean that he's going to take away our eternal home, our home to be with him. We have a duty, and it's to live as righteous as we can and possibly would put forth.
Right.
So in saying all this, what faith that we would have in the Lord Jesus Christ that he has given us, he has told us that we are to use that faith and it will grow. So in that, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask. He'll liberally give it to you, nothing wavering in any way. So we should be willing to listen and ready to receive. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord that ask in a wavering way, is what he's saying. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So I think I've met some, and sometimes I could maybe say, maybe I was at one time or at times. I don't want to be. I don't want anyone to call me that, but I'm kind of examining. I've been in an examining stage for a long while here. But let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. When we come to church, we're not to put one before the other. We're to receive each other in love and in hopefully in the peace. It's kind of like, I'll tell you, I'm having three sons. There's no way I could have ever put one before the other.
Mm-mm, no.
I love them. I have loved them, and I still love them. So it's like this. All three of them, to me, are basically equal, if there's an equality. When I was in the insurance business, you had designated those that would receive the benefits of a life insurance policy, say. Well, I learned that 33 and a third is, you know, one third, so I can't, I don't think anyone could do anything, any one of those three boys could do anything for me not to consider them to receive one third of what Donna and I have, if you understand what I'm saying. But truthfully, they're blessings, they were gifts for a short period of time. to us to raise and to try to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord doesn't mean that they are going to always be perfect in all they do, even though Don and I might think that they are or were or have been. No. The love we hold for one another is that way. It should be that way. Each one gets the same amount. Each love for our brothers and sisters in Christ get the same amount. And it's not that we hold back. It's 100% to you, 100% to you. And that's the way you... All I can say, I can measure it. I want to. I feel like that's my in me. So if that's in me, undoubtedly Jesus has put that in me. And I thank Him for that. Mm-hmm. So if, Brother Steve, if I were to hold something against you, I hope I can come to you. And that we can talk it out. And exactly with Brother Vaughn. And my brother, you being my yoke brothers, but my brothers in Christ and my sisters, the deacons, whomever, we should be able to openly discuss and not hold back. Right. Because it should be in love, shouldn't be in hate. You hit the nail on the head. These things that we can get on, and there's so many horses out there that you can ride. Well, I will tell you, dear child of grace, we need to be walking with the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord always be with us. And hopefully we can say that we can learn, be open-minded, watch our mouths, but most of all, love one another, not be so critical. I've got all fingers pointing here about that one, not being so critical. So I didn't mean to go in this direction, but Brother Vaughn, if you'll close out for us, but I hope that I said something that would add it to, but not take away from Brother Steve's sermon, because you get me.
Bless you, brother. I love you.
Yeah. Coming.